You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Off and rolling Wednesday, first day of October. October 1st, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on @Kuhn71. I'm alongside, back in the saddle, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on @CDunning99. Connor, how are you? I know it's been a tough last couple of days.
it's been a rough last few days. Food poisoning is no joke. It's no joke. It is... Don't eat Taco Bell, kids.
Or if you do, be
very careful when you eat Taco Bell, or you might end up in the emergency room getting fluids after being in some of the worst pain you could possibly experience.
I tell people all the time, like, I've had a bunch of different sicknesses, okay, that come and go. I can deal with, like, upper respiratory, coughing, sore throat, all that. When it involves my stomach and a toilet and throwing up and all that, no, I need someone waiting on me. I don't need you talking to me. Don't say words. I need to conserve all my energy. I'm a baby about it.
I'm really telling you.
But it was brutal, huh?
I thought I was
dying.
Was it
the ground beef?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure what it was, but all I know is that sweet, sweet T-Bell, which has always been kind to me, betrayed me in the worst possible ways, and... I thought I was dying. Like, there's no other way around it. I feel like I've been hit by a bus. It feels like I've been in a car wreck, how sore I am from how much vomiting I was doing. Yeah. It was awful.
Right.
It was truly awful. So shout out to George and Brad for holding it down, holding it down for me.
The old ER doctor gave you some advice.
He did. So this was really interesting to me. So because I ended up having to go to the emergency room because I was so dehydrated, I couldn't keep anything down. And I was in so much pain, and I was basically hallucinating because I was in so much pain. I was like basically awake for a couple seconds, then I kind of pass out, and then I was awake. But in the emergency room, they told me, they figured out it was definitely food poisoning. They were able to confirm that. And they said the top three places we see food poisoning from are Chipotle, Popeyes, and Taco Bell.
That's a wild thing, man.
And
then he went on to say,
and this isn't about health. He's not calling
it's about food
this place
safety.
This
literally
is
food safety.
Safety in terms of you, the place you will least likely get food poisoning from when it comes to fast food. And this is not a joke. He said McDonald's.
So what? So strange.
Those golden
man.
Arches will not steer you wrong. And it is why it has been my favorite fast food restaurant my entire life for a reason, because they're pure and they won't put you in the hospital.
And I'm telling your story a little bit that we talked about before the show. But, you know, the worst thing you can do, because you tried to go to a med stop originally, right?
I went to an urgent care.
You went to an urgent care. The worst thing, though, you can hear, though, is, hey, we can't handle this. You got to go to the ER.
Yeah.
Because then you start thinking the absolute worst.
Well,
you probably had thought you had botulism there
no,
for a second.
They were pretty clear with me. It was very obvious that I had food poisoning. And they said, We just don't have the IVs that we can give you here, so we have to send you to the emergency room. And it was right down the road, so it wasn't too big of a factor. But I was like passed out on the table because I couldn't sit up. I was in so much pain. If I was sat up, my stomach would cramp, and I'm still dealing with it a little bit today. And let me tell you, food poisoning and watching game one of Red Sox Yankees, same feeling. Honest to God, that game last night, the amount of stress
to be honest
I
with
had,
you, I'm surprised you're not
sick.
Blaring Sweet
no,
Caroline.
No, okay.
Off
first
the top
off,
of the show.
Dude, have you ever met me? And do you know how I feel about jinxes? There's no way in hell the Yankees are winning this series 2-1. I'm fully convinced of that. I am not confident at all in the Red Sox right now. This goofy lineup. I love this team. They're lovable. They're a lovable team. Half the roster's hurt. Most of their best players are injured. Their second best pitcher, Giolito, out. You got Bayo, who I think is very good. He's pretty good in Yankee Stadium. He's good against the Yankees, but their best player in Roman Anthony, he's hurt. Most of their lineup is hurt. So when you look at it's basically a Triple-A lineup going up against the Yankees. So they're underdogs, and I love them to death. I love this 2025 team. It has reinvigorated my love for Red Sox baseball. But I don't expect anything good to happen, so no, I'm not going to say it. That's why, honestly, last night when Aroldis Chapman went in, and they got three straight singles to start off the ninth inning, I said, oh, yeah, this is how it's going to go. Yeah, I fully expected them to score and win that game. It's a miracle that the Red Sox won that game last night. I was screaming, felt sick to my stomach. It was like I had food poisoning all over again. God, playoff baseball is the best, isn't it, Gabe? Nothing's better.
I feel kind of disrespected by that, because my Cardinals have missed three straight postseasons.
That was the first postseason win for the Red Sox since 2021.
All right, but we do have some games. One went final, Guardians 6-1. So they extend it. They'll go to a game 3 tomorrow in Cleveland against the Tigers. And then Padres up 3-0 behind a Manny Machado 2-run home run. So there is that. And I think Jackson Merrill knocked in another. So it's 3-0 right now in the bottom of the 6th. Padres up on the Cubs. Later we'll have Red Sox Yankees. I'm sure you're hoping for the Red Sox to handle business. And then we have Reds and Dodgers. By the way, I watched the first pitch or the first at bat of that Reds Dodgers wild card series. I don't expect this to get out of tonight. Shohei Ohtani, it's one thing for him to just be as unbelievable as he is as a player during the regular season when it doesn't matter as much. But it's a whole other thing to see what he's been able to do since he's gotten into a Dodgers uniform in playoff scenarios. First at bat of the game, leadoff home run, 117.7 miles per hour off of an 100.4 mile per hour fastball from Hunter Green, hardest home run off a 100-mile-per-hour pitch in the StatCast era by a full 4 miles per hour, and it never went higher than 51 feet. You don't want to be in the way of that thing as it gets out of the yard. Good God, he killed that ball. I mean, absolutely massive. And had two bombs in the game in general. He's unbelievable.
It was one of those moments where I think everyone watching the game, unless you're a Dodgers fan, is – or a Mets fan, because I guess the Reds.
Yes, we're rooting on the 83-79 Reds.
They were
no
like,
doubt.
The Reds can do it. Right. Oh, no. They can't do it. Oh, my God.
Hey, shout out to my guy, George, filled in the last couple of days. When we got to a big game tonight last night, we had one game to pick, and it was Reds Dodgers. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let you make the picks. He picked the under. So that, as soon as that leadoff home run came through, he ended up tweeting at me saying, yeah, sorry to everybody that I picked the under. This is not going to be an under game. Because the number was 7. They got
the final
to 15.
Yeah, it was 10-5, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, and that's what's wild is that the Dodgers bullpen kind of buckled at the end of the game, but they were up by so much it didn't matter.
Yeah,
they had four. Because I think Hernandez had two home runs. Otani had two home runs. Listen, Reds, some advice for you: don't throw hangers to Otani because he's going to hit them a very long.
Well,
way.
And also just don't throw anything over the middle of the plate.
Also, that.
Like you can throw it a you can throw it 103 miles per hour. He's still going to hit it out of the yard. I mean, I think that's what we learned off that leadoff home run last night.
That Dodgers team, it makes me mad every time I watch
it. Oh, it pisses
it's
me
ridiculous.
Off. Don't,
it's
I mean,
so
I
ridiculous.
Think it makes everybody mad. Don't get it twisted, but hey, if you're willing to pony up that amount of money to go win championships, part of me, even though my team, St. Louis Cardinals, are never going to spend that amount of money, part of me is just going to tip the cap and say, if you're willing to spend that amount of money, I'm not saying you fully deserve it, but you are in the business of winning. You're trying. Yeah.
I will say, though, playoff baseball so far has been awesome.
Of course.
The pitching performances outside of that Dodgers game were incredible. I mean, Tony Snell in that game, he was great, too.
Yeah, Blake Snell.
Tony Snell.
Tony Snell.
Blake Snell was
Shout
great.
Shout out Tony Snell,
Shout
man.
Shout out Tony Snell.
The famous stat
zeros,
line of zeros
which,
all across the board.
That would be a great stat line for a pitcher, just having zeros across the board. So, no, it's been awesome. It's every single pitch matters and is torture in playoff baseball.
And did you see they every single one of their networks that they do their TV deals with, they had a bump.
It feels like
in viewership throughout the regular season.
Baseball's had a bit of a resurgence, it feels.
Yep. Yep. And MLB.tv had a 32% bump in subscribers and viewership this year. So, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know who's buying those subscriptions. We know that Major League Baseball has been dying to get the younger fan base involved. I don't know if they're getting a bunch of younger fans involved, but I thought they, I mean, looking at the numbers from their regular season, 162 game regular season, like that's hard to get people involved with night to night. And they did a good job of it somehow. I didn't expect to see the numbers I saw yesterday, but well done, Major League Baseball. Now we have 3 hours of Talk on the Way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on Overreaction, not an Overreaction, in just a moment. I have my post week 4 NFL power rankings coming up. We have a switch at the top and switches throughout my top 5. Power rankings for the NFL. That'll be at the bottom half of this hour. A trip around the NFL will be at 5:30. Blitz at 6:30. We'll talk about Nafisa Collier and Kathy Engelbert. Nafisa Collier, of course, the all-star, all-WNBA guard for the Minnesota Lynx, and Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner. We know about the pointed comment she made, but Kathy Engelbert has put out a statement to respond to that. We'll talk about that in the Blitz. As far as guests are concerned, David Cobb will join at 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock per normal, Colton Denning to talk some college football. But let's go ahead and hop into it. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
All right, Gabe. The Chiefs beat the Ravens 37-20 in week 4 to improve to 2-2. The Chiefs are back! Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction in the slightest. Let me be honest. I don't think they ever fully left. I think they had some issues as far as their wide receiver room was concerned and injuries. Do I think that Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice are going to put them over the top and make them a Super Bowl winner this year? Not necessarily, but it's very clear Xavier Worthy made a difference in week 4 against the Baltimore Ravens. Patrick Mahomes had his best game of the year, 25 for 37, 270 yards, 4 touchdowns, didn't make a mistake with the football, 0 interceptions. Xavier Worthy ran for 38 yards. He had 5 receptions for 83 yards, catching the ball. It was a different Kansas City Chiefs offense. And defensively, I thought they did a good job of containing Lamar Jackson while he was still in, and of course Derrick Henry while he was still in. So I don't think the Chiefs were ever gone. I never bought that by any stretch of the imagination. I thought they could have dropped to 1-3, which would make it exponentially harder to make up ground in an AFC West where the Chargers have been a lot better this year, and the Broncos are still somewhat of a contender. But you improved to 2-2. Your offense looks like it's back on track. You're going to get Rashee Rice here in a couple of weeks. Feels like they're headed in the right direction. So I guess I will say they are back. But I don't know if they fully ever left. I still think they were, even without Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice on the field, I still think they were a playoff team that no one wanted to see, no doubt.
Was that game more of the Chiefs are back or there are major issues with the Ravens we may not have known.
I think it's both. I think it's a little bit of both. And for the Ravens, they're in a weird, weird, peculiar spot, man. Now you have to go for the next 2 or 3 weeks with Cooper Rush, and your defense has been absolutely dreadful. Which is why let me get on my soapbox. Didn't expect to go here for a second. I see Nick Wright, and I see all other people.
Trying to go at Lamar.
Going at Lamar.
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we talking
it's
about?
It's so ridiculous.
For 3 weeks, that offense had the most points in the National Football League with 111. Their defense is dreadful. It's horrible. It's horrible. And their secondary that I thought would be improved with their additions of Malachi Starks through the draft and Jair Alexander through a trade, I thought they'd be better in the secondary. They're worse. They're awful. They're near the bottom of the league. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. I was impressed with the Chiefs running away with that game, winning by 17, and their offense looking better than it has in a while. But, yes, I do think on the other side you look at the Ravens and say this defense is not improved in the slightest. It may be worse than it was a year ago. They have some serious things they have to figure out. And I know that Ravens fans are going after their defensive coordinator, Zach Orr, and I understand that. And maybe he's on the chopping block. Maybe they have to make a midseason switch and get a different defensive play caller in there. But I don't know. I mean, Matabike has been out for a couple of weeks. They're highly paid all-pro defensive tackle. I think that has something to do with it. But I think more than anything, you just look at their secondary and they're just not improved. They're bad. They were 24th last year in defensive passing yards allowed per game, and they're near there again, maybe a little bit lower through the first 4 weeks. So I think a little bit of both, right? I think the Chiefs are the Chiefs still. We need to not lose sight of that. But the Ravens have some serious soul-searching to do on the defensive side of the ball, no doubt.
Going back to the Chiefs, do you still think they're going to try to make a move to bring in another skill position player? Do you think that they're going to roll with this for the rest of the year?
Let's get a look at it at the trade deadline, because I think the overwhelming thought for a lot of people was Tyreek Hill maybe reuniting, but we know that ain't happening. And by the way, I got a text today about Tyreek Hill. It's just really tough stuff. The intel I have gotten, he tore all four ligaments, dislocated his patella, tore patellar ligaments, meniscus is torn, and he has cartilage damage as well. But the vascular stuff, like the artery and the veins, are all intact. So that's the life-threatening part of the injury he had the other night that is sort of out of the way. But I'm kind of concerned if Tyreek Hill's ever going to play again, because a lot of what he does is speed and a little bit of strength, and having that type of injury at this point in the season, at his age, really tough to come back from. But I think that was the overwhelming thought, is that Tyreek Hill was going to have be reunited with the Chiefs. That's completely off the table. So maybe there's another name out there at the trade deadline that they could kick the tires on, but I haven't seen that name emerge. I don't know if you have.
No, I don't think I've seen it. Really, Tyreek Hill was the only one that seemed plausible, but I don't really know if there is a wide receiver out there that's available.
Yeah, but I think based on the way I have heard, you know, Brett Veach, their GM, talk about Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, it feels like they're comfortable with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy sort of being their guy.
Don't forget about Juju.
He'll make it. You know what?
Hollywood Brown.
Juju will make a big play every now and then for them. So, like, as a fourth wide receiver that you bring in certain packages, why not? But I truly think they are comfortable. If they would have been able to reunite with somebody that they know that could pick up the offense quickly, like a Tyreek Hill, I'm sure they would have kicked the tires on that around the trade deadline. But I can't think of any names at this moment that sort of fit that same category. So we'll see. They could use some help on the outside, but I think they're comfortable with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy sort of being that 1-2 punch there in the wide receiver room.
All right, next up, the Memphis Tigers backfield. Greg DeRozier Jr. and Sutton Smith is the best they have had since 2019, which was the Cotton Bowl season. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Well, here's the thing. I have an answer to this, but I want you to remember, Blake Watson was a hell of a running back. Mario Anderson Jr. last year with Greg DeRozier and Sutton Smith didn't play, but Greg DeRozier is sort of his spell back. That was a good backfield. There's no doubt. But I think this is not an overreaction. I think they are the best backfield they've had since 2019 in that Cotton Bowl season. Now, I the reason I wanted to bring this up today is I think there's a big difference, right? I don't think it's what it was when it was, say, Daryl Henderson and Patrick Taylor Jr. in the backfield. Because Daryl Henderson, very much your, big play, one cut back who could just score from anywhere on the field, where Patrick Taylor Jr. would come in on third and short, fourth and short, JoJo Dorsius in the backfield as his lead blocker, and he would go get the tough yardage. And that's not to say he didn't break off some big runs, because he clearly did. There was a year in 2018, the year before they went to the Cotton Bowl, where Daryl Henderson ran for 1,900 and Patrick Taylor Jr. ran for somewhere around 1,200. So, like, he was still a big play back. It was just you had your thunder and your lightning. Thunder being Patrick Taylor Jr. and lightning being Daryl Henderson Jr. This one's a little different. Like, I think you have lightning and lightning. They're two guys who can score from anywhere on the field. They're really good with their hands. They can catch out of the backfield. You can split them out into the slot, have them run routes. But one thing that I've noticed through these first five games, Connor, and I don't know if you've noticed it the same way, it's hard to get them involved at the same time in the offense. Or at least that's what Tim Kramsey and Ryan Silverfield have showed us. They sort of ride with the hot hand. Hot hand in the Arkansas game, Sutton Smith, he goes for 150. Hot hand in the Florida Atlantic game is Greg DeRosier Jr. He goes for 204 and three touchdowns. So I think one of the challenges they have had, even though I do believe this is the best backfield they've had since that sort of golden era of 2016 to 2019, one issue they've had is trying to get them both involved in the offense at the same time. And I wonder if they're trying to, behind the scenes, or if they already have it involved, they're just not showing it yet, to scheme them on the field at the same time. Because I'm imagining a scenario where, could you imagine a two-back set, right, where you have Brendan Lewis in the middle in shotgun, Sutton Smith on his left, and Greg DeRosier Jr. on his right, and there's RPO looks or triple option looks that you can throw at the defense. That defense would have a hell of a time trying to mentally manage that. How do you game plan for that? Any one of these three guys can take it for six at any given moment. Any one of those guys can kill you with their legs and get chunk play after chunk play at any given moment. So I do believe this is the best backfield we've seen since that Cotton Bowl year and that golden era from 2016 to 2019. But what I would like to see going forward is both of them getting involved. Because I don't know about you. I was watching that Florida Atlantic game over the weekend, and Greg DeRosier was great. And I'm not, there was no shade by any stretch of the imagination, but I found myself asking, where's Sutton Smith? This guy who just ran for 150 against an SEC opponent and had the go-ahead touchdown, and he got seven carries. So I think it is a great backfield. They just need to find a way to give both of the guys their due week to week.
How rare is it for Memphis to have this type of running back run? Because even when you said, like, the even if
it's rare for anybody,
it's insane.
For Memphis, it's
over a decade.
For Memphis, can I be honest? For Memphis, it should be impossible.
Yeah.
Any group of fives, it should be impossible to have this much talent in this short a time at the running back position. It just, it boggles the mind. But it's nearly impossible for power five schools to have this type of run. Like, at one time, think about all these guys were on the same team at one time. Antonio Gibson, Tony Pollard, Patrick Taylor Jr., Daryl Henderson were all on the same team. And Tony wasn't even taking, carries away from some of those guys. Patrick and Daryl had to be those guys. Antonio Gibson didn't even play when they were on the same team.
He was return man.
Yes, that's what he had to do. That's sort of the role he had. It's hard to do it at a power four school. It should be literally impossible to have this type of run at a place like Memphis. But they've been able to do it. But that's a testament to Mike Norvell and Ryan Silverfield and the eyes they have for the running back position and for their skill positions. It's been impressive as hell. Talent evaluation makes or breaks you at any level of football. Obviously, high school, you get what you get. But at college football and NFL, talent evaluation is everything. And I think Memphis has been blessed with really good talent evaluators that bring in the right guys at the right times.
Could last week's, I guess, distribution of runs be as simple as they knew they didn't need Sutton much that game, so they're trying to save him for a bigger game with Tulsa?
No, I simply – because Greg –
Or was it just
can we keep in mind
he had it that
keep
day?
Keep in mind, Greg was healthy for the Arkansas game. He was a full go for the Arkansas game, and he didn't get carries in that game because Sutton was good. I think it's literally as simple as I said it. whoever has the hot hand that night, because they're so similar skill set.
Just go with them.
Just go with that guy and give him as many carries as possible. So, like, that's going to be something I want to see as the season goes along and you play more meaningful games. When you get into that South Florida game, when you get into that Tulane game, when you get into that Navy game, I want to see some wrinkles thrown out there where you have those two home run threats on the field at the same time. So you play with the defense's eyes and make them account for more. The more that you have your attention pulled away by multiple guys on a field, the harder it is to defend the whole field and defend all of those guys. So that's something I want to see. And I'll ask Ryan tomorrow about it and sort of see where his mind's at. And if he has a different answer than I have right now. But that's what I want to see as they get through the later stages of the season in these more important games. I want to see both those guys get more involved, play to play, drive to drive, down to down.
It would be hilarious. I don't know how realistic this is or even if it's possible with how Memphis runs its offense, but that Navy game, show up with your own triple option. It'd be like, we've turned the tables,
why not?
Navy.
Why
what's
not?
Up?
But, like, honestly, imagine that, though, for a second. Because I remember they used to run this in 2019, the Cotton Bowl year, especially in that SMU game and in the Cincinnati American Conference Championship game. They would do split backfield with Kenny Gainwell and Antonio Gibson with Brady White in the middle. Now imagine Brendan Lewis being the guy in the middle of Greg DeRosier and Sutton Smith. Like, I'm a defense trying to scheme my way. I can't be right. I cannot be right. If you run any option look, any RPO look, and they make the correct read, a big play is bound to happen. So I want to see what they do to implement both of these guys at the same time as the season goes along.
All right. Lots of reactions about our next topic, some positive and some loud minority of negative. The NFL made a mistake picking Bad Bunny as their Super Bowl halftime performance. Overreaction.
Oh my gosh.
Or not an
this
overreaction.
This is a huge, huge, huge overreaction. Good God. I mean, I'm tired of everybody thinking that the halftime show is supposed to be for them. And I talked about this yesterday, Connor. If you're a 50 or 60-year-old sitting out in the suburbs of Memphis, Bad Bunny isn't for you. Okay? And it's fine. And thank you for cueing the music. It's groovy, man. It's groovy. And here's the thing. All of the artists I've heard, like, suggested, I've seen some people even throw out Morgan Wallen or something like that. One, I don't think that would play to the crowd that they brought in with Bad Bunny being the halftime performance. But also, one thing Bad Bunny will do, the theatrics of the halftime show will be phenomenal.
He's going to put on a damn show.
Have you
show.
Ever seen him perform?
He's a
great performer. And for those that sit out there and say, oh, I don't even know the guy. Well, can I school you really quick? Can I school you just for a second? He's the third most streamed artist in the world behind Taylor Swift and Drake. Ahead of The Weeknd, Justin Bieber, Ed Sheeran, Ariana Grande, Travis Scott, Eminem, Kanye, Rihanna. He's popular as all get out just because his songs are not in English. Just because you don't know who he is does not mean that other people don't know who he is and enjoy his music. And here's the other part that I think people really need to grasp about the National Football League. The days of the National Football League and American football just being a USA thing, they're gone. It's an international, global enterprise. And the halftime show is watched by not just hundreds of millions of people in the United States, but hundreds of millions of people outside the United States. It's an international product, and they're bringing in an international entertainer. And I don't know why everyone has to complain every single year about the artist that has to be the halftime performer. This is what I told my wife this yesterday. When I get to 40 or 50, and we get these announcements for the halftime performer, if I ever say anything sideways or complain, slap me directly in the face.
I think that's the point that I was about to make, is I think that some people who may be complaining about it have to realize that these halftime performances aren't being chosen for them anymore. They aren't the target audience for it anymore. It's people.
We're not getting Pink Floyd out there at halftime anymore,
we're not,
man.
Getting Creed no more.
Yeah. As much as I'd love that.
I would love it. Listen, they'd put on a hell of a show.
It's an international global enterprise with international outreach.
I mean, this is it's a home run.
I think
it's going to be an awesome show.
When I got the announcement, and by the way, I have Bad Bunny in my music right now.
Me too.
I thought it was a phenomenal decision by the NFL, and I am looking forward to it very heavily. And he's a great entertainer. He's on WWE. He's everywhere now, Bad Bunny.
He
was in Happy Gilmore, too.
I was just about to say, he has been a funny actor. Like, he was in
he's
Bullet Train.
He's hosted SNL a couple of times now. And he's been the musical act at SNL a couple of times now.
He was in the movie that just came out recently, Caught Stealing, with Austin Butler. Like, he is a good actor. He's a good entertainer. He's going to put on a great show. And hopefully, if you don't know who Bad Bunny is, be open to it.
That's the other thing. Just enjoy it
and discover an artist.
That's the other thing. You know, nothing's stopping you. If you're hearing my voice right now and you're like, this guy's an idiot. Why is he, you know, coming to the defense of the NFL for picking Bad Bunny as the halftime performer? You know what? Sometimes it's okay to admit you don't know somebody, but then go educate yourself on that person. You know, nothing's stopping you from going to YouTube or going on your music app right now and typing in Bad Bunny and listening to some of his music. You know what? Just because you haven't heard of him doesn't mean you won't like his music. You may find yourself grooving to his music when you download it and listen to it. And you may learn something and take in another culture and another genre of music that you never knew before. Like, I don't know what's keeping you from doing that if you're complaining about
it. Well, and listen, just because I might not understand everything he's saying, I also listen to Dave Matthews Band and Pearl Jam. I don't know what the hell they're saying half the time, too.
Creed's got a little bit of that too. Have you ever listened
to Pearl Jam? No idea. Sounds good, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so. All right, I'm off my soapbox. I'm good to step
down. Yeah, we're good
to go. All right, let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, I'll get to my post week 4 NFL power rankings. We have some switch ups at the top and switch ups throughout. Stick around for that. Week 5 of the NFL season will get going tomorrow with Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. 49ers are on the road against the Los Angeles Rams. You may hear their name here in just a moment, but we need to get to my post week 4 NFL power rankings. Before we get into number 5, my team that I put outside, others receiving votes, they dropped out of my power ranks for the first time this year. And I'm sorry to our friend Isaiah Downey, but the Chargers had to drop out. And, you know, as part of my rule book, when I put together my power rankings each week for the NFL, it's in section 505.3b is where this is at. If you lose to the New York Giants, who were winless, to a rookie quarterback in his debut, you drop out of my rankings. Doesn't mean they won't be back.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Back in there, I still think they're a talented team, but they're banged up right now. A couple of defensive injuries. Joe Alt out now on the offensive line. They're going to have to deal with that. That's tough. Rashawn Slater, your all-pro left tackle, you lose for the year before the season. Now Joe Alt. They're going to have to figure some things out on that offensive line. Still believe in the Chargers, but again, Section 505-3B tells me I have to have them outside of my top five.
Unfortunately, every single week for the Los Angeles Chargers, one of their players decides to explode on the field, so hopefully they can make it through a whole season.
Right, right, no doubt. All right, believe it or not, this is the first time that this team has made it into my power rankings. Number five, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Look at that.
They made it in. They're 2-2. And I respect what they did this past weekend, handling business in a big way, a 37-20 win over a team that I picked to win the Super Bowl before the season. Not looking that great right now with Lamar Jackson out for a couple of weeks, but they handled business against the Ravens, 37-20. And offensively, they took a step in the right direction. Patrick Mahomes, 25-37, 270 yards, four touchdowns. Xavier Worthy came back, had two rushes for 38 yards with a long of 35. Also caught for 83 yards. Travis Kelce had five targets, caught five targets, not for big yardage, but I think that was the big issue early in the season, getting him involved and having him catch the ball. But this was a dominating win. Thought their defense stood up in the right way. Now, what I do want to see from the Chiefs is we can put all the stock we want into Xavier Worthy's performance this past weekend against the Ravens, but I want to see them do it against a good defense. I want to see them offensively look like they did against the Ravens against a better defense, because we have seen that the Ravens defense is one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL through the first 4 weeks. So Chiefs at number five. Lions come in at number four. I could put them a little higher, honestly. They're climbing up these rankings every week, even after that week one loss they took at the hands of the Packers, in division rival in Lambeau. But I thought this weekend, very impressive on the offensive side of the ball. And defense, I thought they stood up well. They ended up causing Dillon Gabriel to be thrust into starting this week because Joe Flacco was that bad. They forced two turnovers, two interceptions against him. They limited the rushing yards from the Cleveland side of things. But won 34-10 against what I deem to be a pretty damn good defense. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are a good team, but they have a really good defense. You end up putting up 34 points, regardless of how that looks, regardless of the turnovers that were given to you. If you had short fields, you still have to go convert, and you still have to go make things happen once you get into the red zone and get that preferential treatment. So shout out to the Lions. They're rolling right along, even with eight different coaches on that coaching staff. 34-10, you get number four in my power rankings. Los Angeles Rams. I wish they were the St. Louis Rams still. That's why I keep saying it. But Rams handled business this week against what I deem as a very good team in the Colts. I don't know if you're a full buyer yet, Connor. You probably are still on the outside looking in here at the Colts. I'm a big buyer. But to be able to, at the end of that game, pull away just enough to get the victory against an undefeated team and make Daniel Jones make mistakes. First two turnovers of the year, two interceptions. Matt Stafford, 29 for 41, 375, and three touchdowns. I know that he's had all of these, you know, issues going into the season the past couple of years. It was the elbow last year. It was the back this year. I told you to tread lightly if you were doing a fantasy draft and you're sort of targeting Matt Stafford, but I've been proven wrong. Matt Stafford is still Matt Stafford, and he's great. And I have to, at this moment, just give unbelievable mad props to Puka Nacua. I didn't expect to say what I'm about to say at any point during his career, but he is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now with what he's doing. Now, I understand it's a little bit of buddy ball between him and Matt Stafford, but to make yourself available, to block the way he does. I don't know if you've seen some of these clips going around social media and the All-22 view, but they line him up as a tight end, and he's blocking linebackers out of the screen. I mean, the guy, he does it all, but through four games, 42 receptions, 503 yards. I mean, he is on track to break the receiving yards record and the reception record through 4 weeks. These are his stat lines, though, just to give people an idea. Week one, they play Houston, 10 catches, 130 yards. Week two, they play Tennessee, 8 catches, 91 yards. Week three, they play the Philadelphia Eagles, 11 catches, 112 yards. And then they played the Colts, 13 catches, 170, and a touchdown. The guy has just been rolling. He's making himself available. He's playing nearly 100% of the snaps. And, there's a lot of good 1-2 punches in the National Football League, but Matt Stafford and Puka Nacua are doing it better than anybody in the National Football League right now.
I want to make it clear. I do think that the Colts are the best team in the AFC South. They seem like a playoff team. I'm just not calling them Indiana Jones.
You're just not going to do it. Nope. I hear you. You guys know how I feel about the Eagles, right? You know how I feel about them. I think that they're my Super Bowl favorite right now, but I would be lying to you if I said that this offense doesn't give me some pause. I know they won another game. I know that they remained undefeated, and they beat a good team. They won 31-25 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you get props for that. And the defense is timely. They give up yards, but they're timely. But it's just kind of insane to me to see how conservative they're playing offense. It's concerning. It really is. Now, I know you could just revert back to what they did in week three against the Rams. And you could say, when it calls for it, when they find themselves in a deficit, they will figure out the passing game. And I'm the first one to tell you, they will figure it out. But at some point, I want to see them put their foot on somebody's neck. You know what I mean? You have the talent. You're seemingly, from a roster perspective, better than anyone in the National Football League. I want to see you run away with some of these games and stop being so conservative on the offensive side of the ball. I get where there's a tendency for an offensive play caller, when you have Saquon Barkley and the best offensive line in front of him in the National Football League, to just run the ball every single down. And you have a quarterback who can run read option concepts and use his legs. I get where you don't want to turn the ball over, you don't want to make mistakes. But you have the personnel to air the ball out a little bit more. Right now, they're third to last in offensive yards gained this year. Third to last. They're next to, like, the Browns and another team, and the Titans, who have not won a game. One of these things is not like the other. Start playing like you're the reigning Super Bowl champs, and I'll put you in one every single week. But right now, the Eagles are my number two team because my number one team's rolling. That would be the Buffalo Bills. They don't play conservatively on the offensive side of the ball. Josh Allen makes sure that that does not happen. And I think what they found this year, as opposed to years past, and I thought they did a good job of it last year, but James Cook is averaging over 100 yards per game at this point on the ground. And that offensive line is clearing the way for him. In the game against the New Orleans Saints, 22 carries for 117 yards and a touchdown. Before that, he had an 108-yard performance against the Dolphins. Against the Jets, he had 132 yards and two touchdowns. They found a running game to also supplement what Josh Allen does through the air. Defensively, they're sort of in that bend-don't-break mold. You know, they're going to give up yards. It's not going to look the prettiest week to week. They try to do their best to stop the run, but against some of the best rushing offenses, it can be leaky. But what they're doing offensively, how aggressive they have been offensively, I give a lot of respect to what the Bills
have been able to accomplish. They are 4-0. They're absolutely rolling. Their schedule, you know, just looking forward on their schedule, not bad for a couple more weeks. Obviously, they're going to have that Week 9 game against the Chiefs, but they have at the Falcons coming up on Monday night this week. Then they'll have the bye week to try to get their health about them. Then they'll be on the road against the Panthers. I think they will, in all likelihood, and I know the NFL, any given Sunday, any given Monday, whatever it is, but in all likelihood, they'll be 6-0 going up against the Chiefs in Week 9 at home. That should be a awesome matchup. It'll be the CBS game, I believe, 325, in the later 3 o'clock window. So Bills at number one in this week's power ranking. So in review, my first team on the outside looking in, Los Angeles Chargers. Then I have the Kansas City Chiefs at number 5, Detroit Lions at number 4, Los Angeles Rams at number 3, Philadelphia Eagles at number 2, and Buffalo Bills at number 1. Connor, I ask you every week, any problems?
I don't think I have any problems with it. I think I'm just curious where you have teams like the 49ers and the Steelers placed right now.
Yeah, that's tough. They're both 3-1.
Right.
They've both had won some games.
And so I would also ask about the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers. I think that Steelers a little different for me. Like, I guess I would put them in the top 10, but they'd probably be 10. Because I'm just concerned about Aaron Rodgers at 41 holding up throughout an entire season. Their offensive line isn't all that great. He has looked fine, though. And I saw him use his legs a little bit this week, although he did get hit and fumbled the ball in that one scenario.
Man, Kenny Gainwell had a huge game.
Kenny Gainwell had a great game. But they're not winning games by big margins or anything. And I don't think they're playing great football. Like, let's go through their wins real quick. Against the Jets, 34-32. Defense was leaky. We've seen the Jets are a very bad football team. They have not won a game so far this year. Patriots are not at all who we thought they were going to be. Not at all who we thought they were going to be. They won that by one score. And then you go against the Carson Wentz Vikings and win by 3. But also, if you're just paying attention to the defensive side of the ball, you know how many yards Carson Wentz threw for? 350. So the Steelers are the one that you just mentioned there that are not like the others. I think I would put the Bucs right outside the top 5. And what was the other team that you brought up?
The 49ers.
49ers. They're another one that I think I'd put in the same category as the Steelers, but for different reasons, because they're just so hurt. They're so injured. Brock Purdy came back last week, didn't look good. They lost to the Jags. Nick Bosa's out for the year. I saw this week Brock Purdy's going to be out, Juwan Jennings is going to be out, and Ricky Pearsall's going to be out. While they have been playing well with what they have, it's really hard to give the nod to a team that's that injured, right? Just really hard. You don't know who's going to be playing week to week. It's a problem. It's a problem. And George Kittle's been out, so they're 3-1, but it's a weird 3-1. It's a 3-1 that I don't think is sustainable with all the injuries they have.
Which conference do you think has been better so far this season? Has it been the AFC or has it been the NFC?
Ooh, that's tough. I think the NFC's deeper, but I think the AFC has just as good a shot at winning a Super Bowl.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Because they have Kansas City.
They have Kansas City and the Bills. And the Bills.
But NFC's.
And if the Ravens ever get their head on straight.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens.
It has been a bizarre beginning to the season for the Ravens. That defense, I don't think any of us saw them being that bad.
They made the additions to be better. And they're worse. They're like markedly worse. I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. And they have good players. Kyle Hamilton is the best safety in the National Football League, and he can't even help that defense right now and that secondary. It's so bizarre that they're sitting there at 1-3 with the losses that they have attached to their name. You think the Giants are going to be okay with Jackson Dart at quarterback?
They'll be fun.
You think they'll be fun?
Well, Malik Nabers being hurt is devastating.
Huge. And MetLife Turf, can we fix that?
Yeah. Can we just... Players have talked about it a couple times. Play on grass. It's time to stop with the turf stuff.
But especially
Multiple players have said, why are we playing on turf?
Well, yes, I agree with that. But specifically, the MetLife turf. MetLife had 6 season-ending injuries in 2021, 5 in 2022, I think 3 in 2023. They have the Malik Nabers issue this year. That MetLife turf in particular, because you have 2 teams playing on it, crunching it down, making it a harder surface, I think that's an issue. But also, I will say for them, listen, honestly, I'm not even going to give them a bailout for this. I bet it's harder with 2 teams playing on the in the same stadium to keep up the grass and, you know, take care of it week to week. But my God, you have $2 billion franchises putting money into that stadium. You could probably figure it out. You know what I mean? Like you could probably figure it out. But that turf in particular is my biggest issue because not all field turf is built the same.
So notable ACL and Achilles tears suffered on MetLife Stadium's turf since 2020. Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Jabril Peppers, Wandale Robinson, Sterling Shepard, Kyle Fuller, Aaron Rodgers, and now Malik Nabers.
It's too much.
That's too many. That's way too many.
And that's multiple per season. We sit here talking about the health and safety of the tush push in the offseason.
Right.
Somebody bring up the damn MetLife turf. Fix it. And this has been an ongoing conversation for the better part of 5 years. Please just do something about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. We don't need to have our star players having season-ending injuries because they play in New York once a year. It's so dumb. So dumb. But let's go ahead and move on. On that note, when we come back, we visit with my guy from CBS Sports, David Cobb, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.